This is Katie Hunter from MMA UK. I'm here with Stevie Ray. Stevie, I wanted to talk to you about your big win against Michael Johnson. Arguably the biggest win of your career. He's got some massive wins over Dustin Poirier, Tony Ferguson, and now you've beaten him. How does that feel?
Yeah, it feels good to be able to, you know, get in there with someone of his caliber. That fight, I just felt like, you know, it was good to show everyone that I can hang with some of the best guys in the world and someone as high up as him. Yeah, it was good to show everyone that I could do that.
And you seem to go in there with the perfect game plan.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long fight camp. We had been preparing, me and my coach James, and yeah, we just, like, everything that happened on the fight, we expected. We knew it was going to be fast. And yeah, the only thing we maybe didn't get right was that we thought he would maybe slow down, but he didn't. He ended up getting faster. So yeah, but I think it's because he came out in the first round a bit slower than what he normally does.
Yeah.
So second round was like his first round a little bit.
He had some success in the second round that seemed to invigorate him. Did you feel going into the third that it was 1-1 at that stage and you needed to secure the third round?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought I won the first round. Even if you go back and you watch the fight, I'm pretty sure I said to my coach at the end of round, or it was the end of round two, I said, one each, is that one each? And he says, yeah, it's either one each or it could be two to him. So my coach saying that obviously made me go out and fight for a finish, but that obviously made me go out there and try and made sure I won that round, basically. Like that, I needed a good round to make sure. And yeah, luckily I managed to finally take him down. Johnson's quite a hard guy to take down. Khabib even struggled to start with. But yeah, I managed to get him down. Got my favourite position in MMA with the back control body triangle. And yeah. Finish strong to kind of seal the deal.
Yeah, that takedown probably won you the fight.
Yeah, if I didn't take him down, then obviously, who knows how that round would have went. He maybe would have still been fast and, you know, outpointing me or whatever. Because that's kind of what happened round two. I watched round two back, and that's where he did his most amount of damage. But when I watched round two back, I forgot that, you know, I landed some pretty good shots on him as well. He's got a good chin because I landed some, you know, hard shots on him. And he ate it as if like it didn't even faze him. But yeah, so one thing he did say to me at the end of the fight that I was before the decision was called, he just kind of laughed at me and said I was one strong fucker. So I just kind of laughed at that.
That's good to know.
Yeah, well, that was after the third round, probably. Got a good body triangle.
Yeah. What did you think of his reaction to the judges' scorecard? Did you expect that from someone who's just lost a decision, or?
I'm walking away in the half.
Yeah, and he posted a few things on social media in the coming days. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, he posted up a picture of his face saying, I wonder how the other guy is.
And,
what else was it he posted?
It was just things along those lines.
Yeah, he was obviously just wanting some of his fans to you know, say, you won, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, there's always going to be different opinions in MMA. Everybody's got an opinion, but when I watched the fight back, I believe round one was close. He kind of landed some jabs. I landed the leg kicks, and I feel like the leg kicks were more kind of damaging compared to his shots. But yeah, each to their own. I think I edged round one, he won round two, and then I won round three. Got the win 29-28. But
I actually thought it was one of the clearer fights to score, actually. That's how I scored it as well. I always get in trouble for saying what how I scored a fight, but I thought it was pretty clear, to be honest. Also, I wanted to talk to you about another amazing victory before that at Polaris against Paddy Pimlet. What was that like?
Yeah, it was cool as well. Like I said, it was a long, long kind of fight camp because I was preparing for the Polaris match against Paddy. I was training for that. Obviously, I had to diet and make weight and stuff for that. It was 77 kilo, I thought. So the diet part wasn't too bad, but it meant that I started the, you know, my actual UFC fight. I started that low. My weight was 77, so I was pretty much in shape the whole camp. I didn't have to focus on just dieting and trying to make the weight. I could focus a little bit more on performance. So yeah, that was good. The only down thing about the Paddy match was I would have liked to hit the floor a little bit more, so I could show more of my jiu-jitsu. Yeah. I only really got to show a wee flash of it. So at the end, got the win. So
you don't want to give away all your tricks as well. You might want to pull them out the bag in the cage at some point.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was thinking. I should have left that for my UFC fight. I would have got an extra 50 grand for it.
Is it good, though, to show people that you have got this amazing ground game? Because the people, you know, like on the MMA scene who know MMA well know that you've got a good ground game, but you're kind of known for your stand-up as well when people watch you in the UFC.
Yeah, to be honest, all my UFC fights, they haven't really... Not a lot of them have went to the ground. Most of them have been on the feet, and I've showed a glimpse, even against Johnson. Obviously, it only went to the ground at the, you know, middle of round three or whatever. But I managed to... What I can be kind of proud of is the fact that I took Johnson down and made it look impossible for him to get back up, whereas in his previous fights, he looks like a tough guy to keep down. Even against Khabib, he was like constantly trying to get back to his feet, but I secured a pretty dominant position pretty quickly. But yeah, it's always something I could focus on a little bit. Maybe take it to the floor more. It just depends on who I get, obviously. And then sometimes I had this whole black belt thing in my head. Like, if I'm fighting a black belt, then I can't take them down. And but yeah, even against Alan Patrick, he was meant to be a really good black belt. The only thing he was able to do was hold me down and control me. I'm the one that almost subbed him with an armbar, and I got his back as well with a body triangle. So yeah, maybe something I need to show a little bit more in my ground game.
Does that give you confidence that your jits can hang with anyone if you're doing that to, you know, highly ranked black belts?
Yeah, well, I rolled with Damien Maya at the start of the camp as well. We came along to the gym. And even when, I'm sure he was taking it easy on me, probably, but even when I was rolling with him, it gave me a bit of confidence because I'm like, you know what, I done pretty good. And there was, you know, there was some back and forth. I hung my own, if you could say. And yeah, that gave me confidence because he's one of the best grappler in the world.
Yeah. Do you ever get starstruck with like people like that? Not just meeting him, but like getting to roll with him. That must be amazing.
Yeah, I suppose a little bit, but when the fact he was in my gym and it was the gym that I kind of created, Braveheart, that felt cool that he was inside my gym and he had asked if he could come along and train in it. We ended up training together, but I didn't really get starstruck anymore. Last time I kind of got starstruck, I think, was when I first met GSP.
Oh, wow.
Standing next to GSP, and he was one of my favourite fighters. So, I couldn't really believe that I was standing next to him, but yeah.
Is it a rule at TriStar that everyone has to pretend to act normal when they meet GSP for the first time, or does anyone fanboy out?
Yeah, I think a lot of people end up that way, but they can't believe. And then he's a really sound guy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess after that and training with him, then nothing's going to top that. Nothing's going to faze you going forward.
That's it. And we've trained together. We've sparred together as well. I mean, obviously, he's more active and stuff than now. And he's, maybe not as in shape as he normally would be in a fight and stuff. But, yeah, doing rounds with him as well and being able to, you know, hang in there, and that gives you confidence as well. Because, like I said, I believe that he was like the pound for pound best in the world when he was fighting. He just always found a way to win. What nice, well-rounded game.
Yeah. And rumours are that the UFC is coming back to Scotland next summer. How do you feel about that? And who would you like to face on the card?
Yeah, it's really cool. Hopefully it's true. They've just announced they're coming to London as well. So I'm not sure if obviously they would do London in March and then still Scotland in July, hopefully, because I think they'd be able to sell out both places. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Would you like to be on both?
Yeah, I'd like to. To be honest, I'd like to fight before London. What is it now? I would have liked to have even fought this year. I've still been getting a little bit of bother with my knees. Swelling up. I'll go and train. I'll get a good training session and then my knees flare up. I have to ice them for a few days and take time off. Really frustrating. If it wasn't for them, I would have fought again this year. I want to be more active. I didn't want to be fighting twice a year. That's what I think I've done the last few years. Only had two. I'd like to be getting at least four. We'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll see how healthy I can get and how this knee's going. I think I'm gonna go and get it checked out just to be sure that there's nothing going wrong. But it's just a wee bit like flares up, probably wear and tear. Apart from that, I'll just be training away and keeping my weight low. And if anything comes up before London, I'd be up for taking it. Probably London. And then obviously, if they announce Scotland, I'd like to get on that as well. I prefer being more active anyway. So.
Yeah. And what opponents have you got in mind now that you've beaten Michael Johnson? You probably looking ahead of you in the rankings. Who, if you had to pick out a couple of opponents for your next few fights, would you have in mind?
I didn't know what the rankings are like below 15. I don't know what they're looking like, or if they're even legit. Obviously, you've got the UFC top 15.
But
I've just beat Johnson. He's probably a top 15 guy. I don't think he's ranked at the moment because he's been moving up and down weight classes. So
yeah.
It wasn't that long ago he was ranked number 5 in the world. He had just knocked out Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
He was ranked number 5. He fought Khabib, obviously, got beat there. But you know, for somebody to have beat Tony Ferguson, he knocked out Dustin Poirier. He's fought Khabib. He's fought Justin Gaethje. They're all pretty much top 5, top 10 in the world. So to be honest, I'm just leaving it kind of up to the UFC. I'll see what they want to do for me. If Sean wants to give me a top 15 guy, then cool. And if no, the only thing I didn't really want to do is start working my way back away. Because let's face it, any fight's tough in the UFC. I just beat Michael Johnson, but a wee while before that, I got knocked out off Leonardo Mafra, and he's no ranked, but he could quite easily be ranked. He could probably be. That's the way it works with the UFC. You can get somebody that's no well known and lose, or and then, you know, some of my some of the biggest guys on my kind of record I've got wins over.
Yeah. It's risk versus reward, isn't it?
Yeah, like, that's it. Exactly.
You're taking I've on lost, a really tough fight. You like
I've lost to some guys that I've lost to some guys that maybe not everybody would know. Maybe like Alan Patrick or someone. And then I've beat guys like Joe Lozon and you know all the rest of them. So
yeah.
Hopefully I get a top 15 guy. Obviously, it's up to what my manager wants to do as well. My manager, Ali, he's one of the most experienced, if not the experienced managers in there. He knows what he's doing. So I'm leaving it up to kind of Ali, the UFC, to figure out who they want me to take. And then I always then go to my coach, James Doolan, tell him, and we discuss it. And then we'll pretty much go for there. But you know, so sometimes it doesn't matter. Like when I got Johnson, this is the way it went. I got Johnson, so I've got a phone call or a message from Ali saying the UFC have offered Michael Johnson, and I've said I've been buzzing. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And then he's like, I don't know. Let's maybe try and get an easier guy. He's not the best guy to get on the, you know, on that fight when I'm just coming off a loss. Let's maybe get somebody easier. But and the same with my coach. You know, my coach knew it was a really tough fight as well. When I said Johnson, he's like, not too sure about it either. You know, especially coming off a loss, it was quite surprising to come off a loss and then be offered Michael Johnson. So
yeah.
Yeah, but obviously me, I was just like, let's do it. I'm ready. I'll beat them. And I was telling them that I'll beat them. And then we ended up going with it. And then I got the win. So, yeah, it paid off.
Does it knock your confidence if your coach tells you not to take it?
maybe a little bit, because I was kind of...
Cheers, mate. But
at the same time, I understand exactly, like, my coach is one of the best, I think one of the best coaches in the world. And I trust him kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, I'll fight anybody. So it's not that I was right or that I believe that I could. I'll fight anybody and they know that as well. Like if I got offered Khabib, I'd be like, let's do it. But that was me the smartest. Maybe wouldn't it be the smartest. Do you want to start getting back on the winning situation? I want to rack up a few wins, get a win streak. I don't want to just be winning one fight or two fights and then losing a few. Or just be like a fighter that's... I want to obviously try and be champion.
Yeah. But I guess that's why it's good for a fighter to have, or really important for a fighter to have a good team around them, because a fighter's mentality will just tell them to say yes to anyone, anytime, anywhere. And I guess it's up to the coach and the manager to like help you pick what's best strategically in your career next.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. It's a team, and if every fighter got to choose exactly what they wanted, their career probably wouldn't go, because fighters are fighters. We are fighters, and if you're a real fighter, you'll fight anybody. Obviously, you get some sissies out there that wouldn't do it. But I'm just a fighter that would fight anybody. It doesn't even matter what weight. Especially even before the UFC, like I never used to fight for the money at all. It used to be just because I loved fighting. I would fight any sized guy. I'd fight a heavyweight. For free as well, I'd do it for fun. But now that it's your job, obviously, now then you start appreciating. No, I wouldn't do it for free, because I know I deserve money for doing it, if you get me.
Mm-hmm. And going back to the UFC coming to Scotland, there's been a lot all over MMA Twitter about shows not coming to Scotland, like the the scene up there seems to be crying out for shows to come up. I don't know what you think about other shows coming up, when they should come. Obviously, Robert Whiteford had an amazing comeback knockout on Bellator this weekend. Chris Bongard won. Do you think Bellator could go up there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't understand why. I think there's maybe been a couple of times that, you know, Cage Warriors just came up. And then I can't remember if it was busy. I'm sure the Cage, when Cage Warriors came up, it was busy, but maybe it wasn't sold out.
Yeah, so I spoke to Graham Boylan about it on Friday, about coming back to Scotland, and he said it's difficult to step back into markets where the brand hasn't done well before. So
yeah,
I'm guessing it wasn't
sold probably,
out. I'm back quite a long time.
You get these fighters that say, you know, they'll sell it out. I'll sell it. Like, it'd be like me saying, if I got on the card and I'm like, I'll sell out the Hydro myself. In reality, I might not have 13,000 people that's really passionate to watch me fight. Maybe would, maybe wouldn't it? But you need like a good, you know, 3, 4, 5 different fighters that are going to attract the crowds. Like when the ACB came to the Hydro as well. And I'm sure the attendance was terrible.
I think their shows in general in the whole of the UK were terrible.
Yeah,
the attendance, the cards were amazing, but the
when you look terrible. When you look at the previous shows, Cage Warriors and ACB that have been before, and they didn't do well. It was only the UFC, but the UFC is, you know, popular worldwide, so
yeah,
makes sense for them to sell out. But they could definitely do it. I think they've got Bungyard and they've got Whiteford, both on the roster, that have just got wins. And then you've got Chris Duncan as well. He's just signed to Bellator, so there's another guy. And they could probably sign even a few other guys, like one of my teammates, Luke Shanks. I'd quite like to maybe see him in the mix there. Or he just got a big, massive win over Pietro Menga. So, yeah, he's the kind of fighter that maybe nobody knows of that well yet. He just recently joined higher level. And he fought in Cage Warriors, UFC veteran Pietro Menga. I think he was maybe undefeated as well. Or he had a good record anyway. Luke managed to stop him. So there's a few guys that could maybe even get signed.
Yeah.
My other teammate, Stevie McIntosh, he's another guy that could. Yeah, so I would do well.
Yeah, I hope for all the Scottish fans that it does go up to you guys next year in as many promotions as possible, because it's just a shame. And it's, you know, even for like the amateur scene pushing through, it's really important to have local shows, I think.
That's it, because it gives all the kind of smaller guys some motivation and somewhere to focus on, especially the guys maybe in the middle of their career. And hopefully the UFC come back to Scotland as well. There's rumours of that. I don't whether how true they are, I don't know.
July, apparently.
I've not heard any. I know, it makes sense. That's every time they've came, it's been July. 2015, 2017. So, yeah, if they come again next year, that'll be three years since the last game. And it was named as one of the best atmospheres one year. I can't remember. I'm sure it was posted somewhere. Hopefully they come back. We've got me, Jojo, Paul Craig, we've got Danny Henry, all doing well. And then Ross Houston could get signed for that card. He just got a really good, it ended up a no contest, but good fight against Dalby that's been signed.
Let me ask you about him. What do you think of his situation with Cage Warriors at the moment?
Yeah, you hear all different things. So I'm not sure exactly what the exact situation is. I think the situation was that Cage Warriors were wanting Ross to fight. And I think Ross had a grappling match booked. He was wanting to compete on Polaris.
Yeah.
And then I think the Cage Warriors guy said that he couldn't do it and he had to pull out and stuff. Ross was upset the fact that they pulled him for the show, but I think it was because they were wanting him to fight, whether that's the case or not.
Graham said it was because he's a champion. They don't allow champions to compete.
Right.
Promotions. I think as well, he's posted a few things. So he's posted that he knows that people get paid a lot more money than him, and he's not going to accept fights where he's the champion, but they're in his challenger's backyard. So I don't know if he's referring to, I mean, I guess Cage Warriors is going to Belfast. I don't know if he's been offered the Reese McKee fight there, but.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a hard one, but that's the way fighting works, so it doesn't always work like that. Unfortunately, like when I beat Ross Pearson, he was on probably triple my wages. But just because I beat him, I can't say, I should be getting his wages now, because he's obviously fought multiple times. He draws in a big crowd, so, and whatever else. So he's had to work his way up.
Yeah.
And same with Lozon, same with Johnson. Like, I beat Johnson, he probably still got paid more than me for losing. But it's one of those things, you just got to keep... you got to just keep looking at the longer picture. I remember when I was in a situation with Cage Warriors, before the UFC, Cage Warriors wasn't really, it was like no happening anymore. So I didn't know when I was fighting with Cage Warriors again. I didn't know what was going on. I just got a kind of full-time job after training full-time for a while. And I was kind of in that mess up. All crazy thoughts start going through your head, especially when you've been training and fighting on big, huge shows and you're getting paid peanuts.
Yeah.
And then you think, I'm just as good as that guy. And he's getting paid thousands for that, like way more, just because it's a different promotion or whatever. But he just needs to keep he maybe needs one more win or for them to come at the right time, or the way mine's worked. When I got signed, I took a fight on 2 weeks' notice. So yeah, it's just waiting, hoping that time comes.
Yeah. Cool. Good advice.
just keep doing what he's doing. Like, if it means he needs to fight again, I'm sure he doesn't want to hang around and no fight. And then there's also that worry that if he does fight again, he loses and then it sets him back. Because, you know, so there's, even though it's a different promotion, sometimes you can get an easier fight on the UFC than Cage Warriors. Yeah. So it doesn't always work, meaning just because, you know, you could be smashing it in the UFC, then lose a few, get cut, and come out, and then think you're going to smash everybody. But everywhere, there's guys tough everywhere.
Yeah. It seems to be like a real combination of things for him. I really hope he sorts it out, because just want to see him back in the cage where he belongs and doing the business. And hopefully, whatever happens, he'll be on that UFC card in Glasgow if it happens in July.
Even the London card, you know, some fans would maybe even want to see him rematch Dalby on the London card.
That'd be awesome.
Is that where they fought before? Was it Cage Warriors London that they?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, in Hammersmith.
Yeah. They could rematch. They could rematch in London, and this time get paid a bit better for it as well.
That'd be awesome. I wanted to touch on your gym. You mentioned it earlier. It looks like it's doing well on social media. You seem like you always have a lot of people in the classes, and I saw that you're running a beginner's MMA class starting in January.
Yeah. So coach my own place as well. I first started that when I lost to Felder. I lost to Felder and I wasn't sure what was going on with the UFC and stuff, and I couldn't really hang around forever. So I was going through, just sitting about bored. I wasn't really training and probably doing a lot of thinking, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to maybe start my own place. I'll start coaching. Well, I'm waiting. I just started small. I rented out a little room from Arena Gym in Kirkcaldy. Started there, and then the classes were getting too busy. Where I had to, I was like, "This is too busy. Can I move to the bottom of the gym?" And then he gave me the bottom of the gym, and then I ended up getting another bigger bit because I bought the cage. And yeah, and then it just kind of grew from there. It was getting busier and busier. But now I'm in that situation where I got my contract again, and now it's a little, it's hard to do both. It's hard to coach and try and train how I should be training. So yeah, I'm in that kind of situation now where I'm maybe looking for a full-time MMA coach to maybe coach at Braveheart and now. Or get a striking coach and get a jiu-jitsu coach and get them kind of taking over Braveheart, and then I could still pop in every now and again, but it's kind of time for me to focus back on my career, and I can't really be, you know, I can't be coaching a lot at my own gym if I should be training.
Yeah.
Some of the guys that I'd be fighting are training twice a day, and if I'm only training once a day and then coaching, I'll end up, you know, the results will start showing, I'll start losing. And
so at the moment, are you doing all the coaching at Braveheart yourself?
No, I've got some of the guys helping me. I've got Reece Strathern. He's a purple belt, one of my purple belts. So I've got him. He started with me as a blue belt. He had trained elsewhere. Yeah, he got his purple through me and through Rio Grappling Club, my coaches. He does my grappling classes sometimes between me and him.
Right.
And then I've got a few guys that help out with the striking classes. Just some of the guys that have fought through me. Most of them are young. I'll ask them just to kind of do the striking classes when I'm in fight camp and stuff. And then when I'm not in fight camp, I'm in, obviously, coaching as well. But yeah, it's just tough because tough doing both. I enjoy, the hard part is that I enjoy doing both.
Yeah.
But I don't enjoy doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing Braveheart if I'm only coaching. So, like, if I'm not a fighter anymore and if I said, like, right, I'm not fighting anymore, I'm just going to coach, I'd probably enjoy it. I wouldn't get paid as much as, you know, as being a fighter, so that's the downside to that. But, yeah, I enjoy coaching, but trying to do that, right, and I enjoy fighting as well, sorry. I enjoy when I'm just fighting, I'm just training, and I've got things, especially when I've got fights, because that's what
gets
me motivated. It gets a bit tougher when you've not got fights, and it's cold outside, and you're in your cozy home, and you wonder to yourself if you should go out in the cold and go and train. That's when it gets tough. But I enjoy both. It's just hard doing both of them, coaching and training, because I'm getting mentally tired and physically tired.
And you've got an ever-growing family as well to see.
Well, that's it. So in between those two, doing that, I've also got, you know, a big family. I've got 3 kids with another one on the way.
Congrats.
Thank you. Natalie's due in the end of January, so right, pretty busy life. 4 kids. That alone is pretty tough. Never mind being a fighter and being on fight camps and then having your own business as well. So
yeah. So your beginner's MMA course starts on the 6th of January. And it's 8 weeks long, so I take it if you're on the March card, you won't be coaching all of that. But I guess that people can see you for some of that, maybe at the beginning.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. I'll be coming in. Some of the ones before, if I've not got a fight, I'm usually in coaching it, because I've already done my training during the day, and then I'll coach at night. If I get a fight, then I'll try and get cover from some of the guys. All the guys at Braveheart are always great with that, helping me when I've got fights and when I need to go to you know, I went to Singapore for 10 days, so somebody had to clean the gym, coach, make sure, you know, somebody's at the till, kind of, somebody locking up. But, yeah, I've got a great bunch of guys, so anybody that's watching, I appreciate it. Thank you for helping.
Shout out to them.
That's it.
I did ask if there was any fan questions on my Instagram before we did this. I've covered most of them as we've gone along. But one, I hope this means more to you than it does to me. Somebody asked me to ask you when you last bought gold from someone.
When I last bought gold for someone.
From someone.
So what happened is I was on my way home for training. And there was a guy at the side of the road, and there was two cars at the side of the road. So I pulled over. The guy's waving me to pull over, basically. So I pull over, and he says to me, "Excuse me, I broke down. I'm on the way to get a ferry to then." To then, I can't even remember where he was going, but his car had broken down. He needed a lend of some money. And the only reason I gave it is because, the only reason I gave the money is because he offered me to have his stuff. So he's like, "Here, take my phone." So he gave me his phone, and then he gave me like his ring and his watch and his bracelet. And he was like, I'll pay you the money back, obviously. Whatever he said, I can't remember. So I'm basically thought, I'll help this guy out, and he's going to help me out in return, because he said that he just, I can't even remember it all. But anyway, then what I was thinking at the time is, I'm like, even if this guy bumps me, then his phone is worth more money than I'm giving him anyway. I'll just keep his phone. Because I did have that thought that I was getting bumped. But anyway, then he managed to sneak his phone back. No, sneak it back, but like he asked for it. The way he asked for it back, I don't know. He was definitely a professional, bumped me out of money. and then I looked like a proper silicon. Trust me, when I was there, it was a lot more like the guy was in a suit. He was in a full suit. He looked smart. He looked legit. Yeah. And then I was named. You know what? I drove away and I was like, "What the fuck have I just done? I've just been completely fucking bumped." I just got fucking bumped.
Did you take his jewelry in to be traded?
I've still got his jewelry because you know what? I'm fucking. What? Even though obviously it's fake, I realised that after that it's all fake. But I never bought the gold. He was just giving me that, like, until he paid me back. And I was,
And we're still waiting for that, are you?
I remember the Reggie plate, though. I always remember the Reggie plate. And if I ever see the car driving, I will just drive right in it. I'll wreck the guy. It's LT55 MPO.
There you go.
A black Saab. I can the Reg off the heart if I ever... Oh, find the guy, he's fucking dead meat.
Amazing. Well, if anyone sees that car driving about near 5, then he's owed some money.
Chances are, if I ever see that car again, it's not going to be that same guy, but I'm going to definitely try and pull them over. Just for being...
Just to have a quiet word.
Do what, like?
I hate all these scammers. Can they send you the emails and everyone else? Absolute lowlifes.
Well, just if anybody emails you from Nigeria and says that, like, they want to transfer you £1 million, just send them your bank details.
Ah, that's that.
That's a scam too, Stevie. Well, brilliant. Thank you so much for your time. Congrats again on such a fantastic win. And I hope that this just propels you onto the next level in the UFC. And I'd love it if we could see you fight 4 times next year. It'd be awesome.
Well, me too. Hopefully, I want to be busy, and I want to at least try and break into the whether it's the next fight or, you know, a few fights down the line. I want to definitely be in the top 15 within the next year.
Yeah.
So that's the next goal.
Amazing! I can't wait to see you achieve it. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
No worries. Thanks for your
time. Appreciate it, Stevie. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.